present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. This week, we're coming to you from Milton Keynes, indisputably the name of a town in Buckinghamshire. The earliest historical mention of Milton Keynes is from the journal of the Roman governor Quintus Varanius. He arrived here from Gaul with the 7th Legion in AD 57 with 500 chariots, 1,000 Nubian slaves, and 200 wagons laden with materials to build a forum and an amphitheatre. Had a look, turned round and went back again. In the 1850s, Milton Keynes, elected as mayor, won Thomas Froggy Harris, who wanted to make the town a better place to live, a place where homeowners would happily leave their doors unlocked. It was certainly better for Harris because he was also a burglar. Harris was known as Froggy because he was once caught in a field making love to a French woman. He retired to live on a farm with his brother, Porky Harris. The nearby office block known as Walton Hall is the headquarters of the National Union of Students, so we should say hello to them. Or, if they're listening to the lunchtime repeat, get up, you lazy bastards. But students aren't alone in sleeping through a half-hour radio show. Let's meet the teams. On my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Timber Taylor and David Mitchell. And keeping a keen eye on the team's points, please welcome our scorer, the ever-delightful Samantha. Well, the first round this week is about movie titles that have been written wrongly. I'd like the teams to suggest well-known movies which would have been much less appealing if just one extra word was added to the title. So, Barry, can you start?
The sound of lift music.
Tim?
Driving over Miss Daisy.
David?
The French Wi-Fi connection.
Graham?
A Clockwork Orange clock.
Groundhog Day 2.
Life of Brian Sewell.
No Country File for Old Men.
For a few dollars, Roger Moore.
From Russia with Love Handles.
Lord of the Napkin Rings.
Tax Return of the Jedi.
Handy Gandy.
Batman Returns Jumper.
Well, it's music time now, with a round called One Song to the Tune of Another. This is where the teams take two songs and mix up the wrong tune with the wrong words. It's a kind of musical dyslexia, so Barry Cryer should be good at this. Barry developed trauma-induced dyslexia after he was threatened by a man with a canoe. At the piano, we have Colin Sell. By the way, Colin tells us he's now taking bookings for 2015, which is £1.25 more than he used to get. Okay, we'll start with you, Tim. I'd like you to sing the words of I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts to the tune of Marlene Dietrich's Lily Marlene.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
There's all standing in a row. Big ones, small ones, some as big as your head. Give them a twist, a flick of the wrist. That's what the showman said. I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Every ball you throw will make me rich. There stands my wife, the idol of my life, singing roll a ball, a ball, a penny a pitch, roll a ball, a penny a pitch, roll a ball, roll a ball, a penny a pitch.
Thank you. You now, Barry, I'd like you to sing the words of The Sound of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel to the tune of Down at the Old Bull and Bush.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Na, 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 na. A vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. The vision that was planted, my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams, I walked alone on narrow streets of cobblestone. Neath the halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold. Na 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 na. Then, when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light. That's it, that I touched the sound of silence. In the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking.
Oh, thank you very much, Barry. And to the audience, although I must say, if you're going to eat crisps, can you eat it a bit more? So, David, it's your turn. I'd like you to sing the words of Big Mouth Strikes Again by the Smiths to the tune of On the Street Where You Live.
Sweetness, sweetness, I was only joking when I said I'd like to smash every tooth in your head. Oh, sweetness, sweetness, I was only joking when I said, by rights, you should be bludgeoned in your bed. And now I know how Joan of Arc felt now. I know how Joan of Arc felt as the flames rose to her Roman nose and her Walkman started to melt. Oh, big mouth, la da dum.
Thank you, David. That was really quite disturbing. Graham, now, I'd like you to sing the words of I'm Too Sexy by Right Said Fred to the tune of Frère Jacques.
I'm too sexy, I'm too sexy for my love, for my love. Too sexy for my love, too sexy for my love. Love's gonna leave me, love's gonna leave me. I'm too sexy, I'm too sexy for
I'm
my
too
shirt.
Sexy,
for
I'm
my
too
shirt.
Sexy,
too sexy for my shirt, 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 too sexy for my shirt,
too sexy for my shirt, too sexy for my shirt,
so sexy it hurts, so sexy it hurts.
So sexy it hurts, so sexy it hurts, so sexy it hurts.
The next game is called Word for Word. It's where each team takes it in turn to exchange a series of unrelated words while the opposing team tries to identify any connections between these words. Now, I must caution the teams, as recently the rules have been stretched almost to a state of cheating by panellists repeating certain words. So if you hear more or less the same words over and over again with barely a hint of variation, you're probably listening to the Archers.
Yeah.
So off you go, Tim and David.
Trumpet.
Furiously.
Selfie.
Puke.
Cummerbund.
Hope.
Budgerigar.
Ah, great. Yeah.
No, she was a wonderful actress, Hope Budgerigar.
Yes.
What would I have seen her in?
Sweet Bird of Youth.
Yes.
I think that's quite right, actually. Hope Budgerigar. She's been in
good grief.
Many films that Graham and Barry will remember, but we won't. So over to you, Graham Barry.
Really?
Yeah.
That was my word.
Definitely.
Pie.
Bucolic.
Well, we can't ignore the fact that someone buzzed in there, and it was Graham. Graham buzzed in before he was about to... Did you notice a connection between the one word that had been said in that?
Yeah, I did. It was the same word.
Fair enough. So, now you can start again, please, Graham.
Now?
Yes, please.
Oh. That was my...
Coriander.
Greasy.
Deficit.
Weep.
Existential.
Night.
Fop.
David is...
Light and fop. There's a link between all things light and all things foppish. It's a musical, The Light and the Foppish, from the 17th century, recently rediscovered.
Could you name any of the songs? They're obviously well known, David.
No, they're not very well known at all, and so I couldn't.
Ah. Who was the composer of that?
It's lost. We're hoping it's Shakespeare.
Yes, because he really didn't write enough, did he, Shakespeare? We're hoping to add to his canon.
I don't think his musicals are the best of his work.
What did the audience... Have you heard of this new musical, old musical?
See, they all have.
Absolutely no help at all. Thank you. Well, you're very keen on the idea, David, so yes, I'll let you continue with that. I'll give you that.
Okay.
Panic.
Beautician.
Mollycoddle.
Arable.
Bigamous.
Anteater.
Barry.
Bigamous anteater. Yes, this was a 17th century... bawdy comedy about the bigamous anteater. Yes, very well known. Congreve, I think I remember.
Did he happen to write any musicals?
No, there was no music in it, Jack.
No music. In it. Okay.
But written by Congreve, I know who wrote it.
Oh, it's all right, no need to get so ratty. It's just a game, we're trying to keep it light.
And foppish.
So over to you, Graham and Barry.
Oh, come on.
Hesitation. I'm sorry.
As we're playing the game, I'm just remembering that there needs to be some sort of conclusion or end to it. And I'm realising that it's up to me to finish the game by pressing this button. So at some point I will, just to let you know there is, you know, light at the end of the tunnel. A foppish light at the end
of
the tunnel.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, Barry and Graham.
Turbot.
Sadly, we didn't have enough time to carry on with that. Next round is about rare medical conditions. Now, coincidentally, our three regular team members have each suffered various symptoms recently. Barry has been getting worried about his hearing. It's next Thursday. Graham got very angry when he developed schizophrenia, but he tried not to beat himself up about it. And Tim says he's been feeling funny all week. Certainly seems to have cleared up. Okay, well, we'll start with you, Tim and David. You're suffering from an unusual medical complaint and have just been called for your appointment with Drs. Barry and Graham. You must outline your symptoms to them, and they'll be awarded points based on how accurately they're able to diagnose your condition. So the identity of your complaint is now being displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Tim and David think they're members of UKIP. Tim and David think they're members of UKIP.
Morning, morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
So what seems to be the trouble?
There's nothing wrong with us.
Oh.
No. Oh,
is there any kind of problem that you are encountering?
Oh, tell me about it.
It's a problem everyone's encountering.
Exactly.
It's just we're happy to discuss it.
Other people right. aren't.
Yeah. It's a problem. We're just talking about it.
Is there a political context?
Well, if you want to read that into it.
Are we allowed to smoke in here?
Well, UKIP if you want to, and...
Yeah, they think they're members of UKIP. That's right. So your turn to be patients now, Barry and Graham, and the identity of your mystery medical condition will now be displayed to the audience, while here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Barry and Graham are zombies. Barry and Graham are zombies.
Do come in.
Thank you.
Don't sit down.
Well, we can't, really. We're just fed up, generally.
Yeah. We're not popular.
No. Life is dreary. We find life very dreary.
We do. Nearly every context when we're out and about, people react badly to us.
They do, they do. They're terrible trouble getting a table in a restaurant.
That's right. They won't let us on buses.
No. And the clothes we wear are not exactly haute couture.
Some people have shot at us.
Yes.
You're like almost everybody I know. Miserable sods, basically. Yeah. Are you human beings?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yes.
More or less. And we can't run.
We can hardly walk.
Barely walk, really. And holding your hands out in front of you is very tiring.
It's just misery, actually. We feel more dead than alive sometimes.
Do you feel like you just want to wrap yourself up in bandages and be protected from the world?
No.
No.
Do you feel... It sort of feels like you've barely woken up all the time. You're in a sort of almost a zombie state.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, the next game is about the art of romance. Barry was telling us he recently bumped into his first ever girlfriend, who he hadn't seen since 1957, but she was a bit drunk. In fact, she hasn't stopped drinking ever since the day Barry left her 56 years ago. That's what you call a celebration. Now, in this round, I'll provide the first part of some examples of romantic literature, which the team should complete in the least romantic manner possible. The first one is for you, Barry, and it's some lines from Melvyn Bragg's A Time to Dance. There you were, the wonderful female shape, slim, vulnerable shoulders, deep breasts rising on the rather narrow body, flat stomach, sweet, hard curve from ribs to thighs, demanding a palm to sweep down it, shaking out your hair as you stared back. You were the first to hold me tight and say,
"Tickets, please."
Say how much you loved it. I didn't know Melvyn Bragg wrote crap. Tim, this is for you. It's from Alistair Campbell.
Oh.
I took a deep breath, my hand immobile for a few seconds, just holding a breast that had fed so many fantasies, so much frustration. I gripped the expensive fabric of her green dress in my two hands, and I tore it. With a shimmer, the silk fell away to her waist. It was the first time I had seen...
Anne Widdecombe's scorpion tattoo. I don't think it was the first time myself.
All right, David, your lines to complete are from the Song of Solomon in the King James Bible. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, it's actually rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away.
Yes.
Graham, your romantic lines are taken from a greetings card message. Roses are red, daffodils are yellow. I just want to say
they match your eyes and teeth.
You're a real handsome fellow. Back to you, Barry, and it's another one from a greetings card message. Your hair is brown, your eyes are blue. Have I told you lately?
I'm overdue.
This is, of course, that I love you. David, here's some words for you from Sarah Teasdale's The Kiss. I hoped that he would love me. And he has kissed me on my mouth, but I am like a stricken bird that cannot reach the south. For though I know he loves me, tonight my heart is sad.
The DNA test just came back, and he's my biological dad.
His kiss was not so wonderful as all the dreams I had. Graham, greetings card again for you. I've known men that make me cry. I didn't want to give love another try. You told me gently to let it go. And now it's time to let you know.
I have just gently let one go.
Well, I hope that was your answer.
It is to most things, yes.
It actually reads, it was by chance that I met you and found a love that's always true. Here are some for any of you to have a go at. This is from another greetings card. I love you when you're distant. I love you when you're close. And today I want to tell you...
I prefer you when you're distant.
Actually, you're the one I love most. Oh, we're back to Melvin Bragg now. From his novel, A Time to Dance. And your hands would rush nervously up and down my back, down my flanks as we tried to kiss, talk, embrace, undress and feel each other all in the same instant. It doesn't matter what it really is, but... Frantically, we would separate and throw off clothes so fiercely that we often...
had to leave Waitrose.
Found rips and tears in them later. Greetings card message here. You're amazingly gorgeous. I love you to bits.
I'm stroking your hair as I gaze at your nits.
So I've bought you this ring. I hope it fits. That's a romantic way to propose, isn't it? Give someone a ring. I bought you this ring. I hope it fits. If it doesn't, I'll ask someone else. And finally, this from Mills and Boone. Strong arms clasped her waist, brought her gently down to the floor to lie with him on the colonial quilt. "Oh, Elizabeth, I love you," she gasped, a joyous, surprised sound. And then she melted, absolutely melted, melted against him, melted out of her clothes, melted out of her mind. All she knew was that he loved her, and...
she was a snowman.
I could read you what it really is, but it's such rubbish. Yes, well, it is very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time for a round that will appeal to food lovers. Incidentally, there are some seasonal recipes on our website, including one for Nigella Lawson's Christmas Coke. Cake, cake! The round is called the Bread Lover's Songbook. Samantha has to nip out now as she's off to meet her baker gentleman friend who does market research into brands of bread. He's prepared a sample sandwich buffet, Samantha says. Last time she went, she was disappointed by his hovis triangles, but was satisfied by his nimble fingers. While she's away, I'll ask the teams to suggest titles of songs likely to appeal to an audience of bread lovers. So, Barry, can you please start?
Another One Bites the Crust.
Tim?
Crumpet Voluntary.
Graham?
Hold It, Flash Bang, Wallop, What a Pitter.
David?
For Catch a Falling Star.
Where Has All the Flour Gone?
Shake, 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 shake your butty.
When a man loves a Warburton.
It's my chapati and I'll fry if I want to.
Ain't no sun blessed when he's gone.
Stand by your nan.
Donut, leave me this way.
On Mother Kelly's doorstep.
Bake me up before you sourdough.
Achy, bakey, tart.
Never mind the Bannocks, it's the Sex Prestles.
There's a guy works down the chip shop, swears he's Hovis.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the great white shark of time noses around the corals of eternity and terrified punters flee from a shark-infested betting shop, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha, myself and our audience here in Milton Keynes, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Timbrook Taylor and David Mitchell were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.